Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live.
Hey, welcome to My Michelle Live. This is News and Views Thursday. On News and Views Thursday, we take on some of the news of the week, and we look for a deeper story as we do on all of My Michelle Live's broadcasts. We look for what we call the God story. Is there a deeper story? Is there a message of hope? And if there really is a God, what's he doing in all of this? And what does he expect of you and I? Well, Saturday, November 20th, is Children's Day. Did you know that? If you have kids, well, I guess it's a good time to celebrate your children. In 1925, the International Children's Day was first proclaimed in Geneva during a world conference on child welfare. World Children's Day is celebrated on the 20th of November to commemorate the Declaration of Rights of the Child by the UN General Assembly, which happened on November 20th, 1959. What a time it is for children. And children are important. We want to go right to the God story, that fabulous story from Sunday school or from your children's Bible. That picture of Jesus surrounded by little kids. And the Bible says, suffer not the children to come unto me. You know, don't prevent them from coming to me. The disciples came up to him and said, hey, we've got a lot of adults here taking time out of their very busy schedules. They came to see you. They came to hear you. They're like managers saying, okay, time to get on stage, Jesus. And Jesus is saying, hey, wait a minute. Unless you come to me like a little child, you ain't getting here. And that humility, that awe and wonder of who God is. Children are important to God. In fact, in the Bible, it said that it's better for someone to have a millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the sea than to cause one of these little children to suffer or to stumble. On this Day of the Child, this weekend, what kind of time are we creating in history for our children? There is now documented more substance abuse, more suicides, more deaths from weapons, motor vehicle crashes since 2020 for children. Also celebrated, by the way, is the 7th annual Sex Education Day. At the same time, we are celebrating the International Day of the Child or the World Child Day. Is that a coincidence? I mean, come on. Sextortion of children, hypersexualization of children, it is rife. Early sex education is being promoted in our schools and recommended. It was recommended in the 2009 UNESCO report. The importance of self-pleasure and removing guilt and shame associated with sex for children. In education, can we first teach kids how to read, write, and do simple math before we start teaching them how to masturbate and put on condoms? And I mean, you know, maybe that's asking too much. For example, a page that is being recommended for children so that they can get their answers to sex, to sexual identity, to positions, to puberty, and even pornography.
It's completely normal to be curious about sex, bodies, and how things work. Porn is not the best source of sex education. Let's see some of the differences between porn and real life. Pornography often uses white actors with dramatically enhanced breasts and penises. The actors are often waxed to have no hair. In real life, you will typically see bodies with a variety of skin tones, body shapes, sizes, and abilities. Porn uses exaggerated special effects and other movie-making tricks to produce fantasy, such as semen from a penis being ejaculated.
Okay, that's quite enough. Yeah, but that's for your kids. So the problems are, well, it is unrealistic, that it's mostly white people. White people, they're not mentioning that pornography is addictive, mentally and emotionally destructive. No, it's those white people. Watching white people have sex is what's bad for you. I don't know. Those who oppose sex, they say, sex education programs that are based on science, are conditioned to sexual guilt by their medieval Christian upbringing. They say they are opposed to so-called sexualization of children. Wake up, dinosaurs, they say. Children are sexual from birth. Education simply allows them to avoid developing guilt about their own sexuality. Look, as far as my medieval Christian upbringing, the Bible has one of the most sexualized or sexual books of history. Talking about the Song of Solomon, but sexualization taught within the confines of how it may have been created. I mean, God was the one who designed sex and designed our bodies. Wouldn't he have a say in how it is most pleasurable? And by the way, can we teach reading, writing, and simple math before you start teaching kids about sexualization? In other news, as we talk this week about Children's Day coming up on the 20th, kids receiving COVID vaccines are getting it more than three times faster than adults did when the vaccine was first available for adults. And if you may remember, adults were given incentives, they were given things like lottery tickets, and maybe you could win $1 million, you could get free donuts, for crying out loud, paid leave. This is before the more strong-armed methods of, we're going to keep you from going to baseball games and from going to work and feeding your family. For kids, though, it's things like this. In Pittsburgh, the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh has announced that all families who sign up for a child vaccination receive free admission to the Children's Museum and Museum Lab for one child and one adult on both days of the clinic. So, you know, we can go ahead and give those incentive out for kids as well as adults. What strong arm methods do you think they might use for children? I don't know. But children who have had COVID-19, they are recommending that you wait at least 12 weeks for the vaccines that could defer what they call the very, very small risk of heart inflammation after a vaccination. There are some other concerns that parents have had and some other adverse effects that have happened from the vaccine, but they are recommending waiting 12 weeks after having COVID before you start jabbing your children. Keeping in mind that we are living in an era of fear, the very, very small risk of adverse effects from the COVID vaccine that they say are actually on par or even a little bit more than your chances of your child having any adverse effects from COVID. So much like in the adult world, things in the child world where COVID are concerned just don't seem to make sense. Young people were more likely, by the way, to have received HPV vaccines, according to new statistics, in states where they could give consent themselves without their parents. This is according to research. They said that it's improving access to important tools for cancer prevention. And why not? We can let them choose their own gender before a girl even has their first period. They could choose their gender when they are just as likely to choose to be a puppy or a kitten as someone from the opposite sex. But why not let them make health choices like vaccines and sex and abortion? The issue, wherever you stand on this and however you decide whatever's best for your child, truly, we have taking our kids to a place as we go into 2021 World Child Day of giving our kids these powerful choices that they're not equipped to make. We're leading children in a direction that they should just be enjoying their childhood and learning the basics of how to treat one another. Another issue that is coming out that is a 911 for parents if your kids have any kind of computing device and use any kind of social media. Let's talk TikTok. A Wall Street Journal investigation has revealed this dark design programmed into TikTok's video sharing app. It's powerful algorithms that steer children towards drug abuse, steer children towards sexual depravity, which, as we've talked about in this World Child Day and Sex Education Day, well, you know, that's just giving kids empowerment. Listen, here's what's going on with TikTok. This paper reports that TikTok may be causing teens to develop not only an addiction to and a propensity towards drugs, drug abuse, and sexual depravity. Now, the paper reports that TikTok may be causing teens to develop a movement disorder similar to Tourette's syndrome. Their uncontrollable and abrupt movements, outbursts of swearing and other tics. So it's showing that our addiction to social media, to this fast-paced video kind of sharing, is causing problems in children. Now, the New York Post put it this way: if your child lingers for a few seconds on a video with even a subtle sexual or drug-related text image, TikTok barrages their feed with stronger and stronger content. So it goes from adorable animals to kinky sex. TikTok is aiming to engross and addict. If they can do that, then you want more content. And I'm not kidding. The Wall Street Journal investigators were posing as 13-year-olds and created fake accounts. One account quickly fell into bondage and sexual role-playing. Boom! Extreme videos were describing how to tie knots for sex, how to recover from violent sex acts. It discussed fantasies about rape. Not long after the account was created, more than 90% of its video feed concerned bondage and sex. Another account from a fake 13-year-old account from this Wall Street Journal report. This other account was bombarded with marketing for strip clubs, promoted paid pornography, and videos pushing users towards OnlyFans.com. That's where we're at for content for children, for protecting our children, for teaching our children critical race theory, which says some of us are just inherently bad because of the color of our skin. Some of us are inherently privileged because of the color of our skin. Tell that to the kids who have no shoes and a father in prison and may not even have family who have ever learned to read or graduate from high school in the foothills of the Appalachians, where I had the privilege of working with Save the Children to teach children how to read. And one little girl came up to me. She was reading with me and she did a bang up job. And she was the way she read, she brought the story to life. It was entertaining and her enunciation was beautiful. And I praised her for that. And she said to me this: "Miss Michelle, are you a princess?" Like, a princess? Well, no, why would you say that? She said, "Well, you're just so beautiful and you just look like a princess. And I was thinking if you were a princess, you could grant me a wish." I was like, "Well, honey, what's your wish?" She said, "I want to be a doctor someday." I was taken back by that. And I said, well, honey, you don't need no stinking princess to grant that wish. You can be your own princess. And if you keep reading like you're reading and you study hard and you work hard, you can be anything that you want to be. And there's no one. And there's no one, not one person, that can stop you. I found out that that little girl, that white little girl, who you would say maybe is grossly overprivileged, has grown up in a household where, yes, her father is in prison. The only good meal that she gets is the meal that she gets when she goes to school. And nobody in her family knows how to read or has ever learned to read as far back as they can document. She's the first person in her family to learn to read. Not a lot of privilege there. Look, we all have challenges in our life, and there are kids around the world who have even worse challenges. This holiday season, as we go into World Children's Day, Operation Christmas Child is continuing to take donations and give you the opportunity to fill boxes. And you can find out more at SamaritansPurse.org, SamaritanPurse.org. Also, Child Care Worldwide, who we love to work with, are giving these wonderful boxes to kids that have things that they need, that provide their needs. And you can do that for under $30 if you go to childcareworldwide.org. As we talk about children today, there's a deeper and more important thing to teach your children. And we're going to talk with a gentleman who's written a book for children that you might want to pick up for this holiday season that puts things into real perspective and helps your children to understand who they were really created to be. Let's take that on. This is the time where we are heading into the holiday season. And there's no better time to focus in on family and children. Now, children have had it pretty rough as of late. If you haven't really thought about it, wrap your head around this. Children are dealing with propaganda, sexualization, sexual questioning, body image, cyberbullying, pornography, disconnection with nature, obesity, and as of last month, the New York Times reported that leading medical groups have declared a national emergency in child and adolescent mental health. They say it's triggered by prolonged isolation, uncertainty, grief that the coronavirus pandemic has just brought to the surface. But there is hope. You don't have to succumb to the craziness. And we'll talk about critical race theory today. We'll talk about some of the woke ideas that are taking away from the fundamentals that give security to children. But how do you do that? Well, sometimes it's just as easy as loving your children and maybe a bedtime story. I'm so excited to introduce to you a man you may have heard of before, you may have heard before, Joe Palmisano. He has described himself as a Forrest Gump of life, and it's so true. He's been an entrepreneur. He's been a football coach at Malone College in the mid-90s with a really pretty cool record. We can talk about that, too. Radio personality. He's a kung fu champion, and he's written a book that is really beautifully illustrated. I think Laura Watson is your illustrator. It is a book that kind of puts things in balance in a time where kids feel so out of balance. Joe, delighted to have you on My Michelle Live. Welcome, welcome. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. Start to the holidays. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Michelle. It's an honor to be on with you.
Wow, what a time we are in with for children, especially. I mean, truly as adults, we've kind of lost it. So you can imagine it can be even worse for kids. What is it that brought you to a place where you said, you know what, I want to do something for children? What was your impetus?
Well, it's actually what I want to do for people. In my radio show for 15 years that I did, it was a live talk show. I talked to people about everything. I tried to bring every aspect of life into it, very much, very similar to what you're doing, that I know is not, it's a mission for you. I could tell that already. It's not something that you're doing because of money or notoriety or anything. You're doing it because it's a mission, and that's what truly makes a difference. But I wanted people to understand that in this environment that we're in right now, with social media, with internet, what is happening is people are losing touch with each other. It's really comfortable to sit back and on an internet and label people, characterize people, put them in categories, because then it's much easier to hate, and it's much easier to do all those things. The uncomfortable part of life is actually the best part of life, and that's getting to know someone, being vulnerable, actually being out there and having to know someone, or getting to learn about someone from another race, from another gender, from another religion, getting to know people. And when you do that, the barriers magically are broken down, and you start to get to know and you love people. I've been through situations. I grew up in the 50s and 60s, Michelle. Okay. So I grew up when people still sat on front porches, where the neighbors had their doors open and you just went in, and where cars were unlocked and you stayed out until the street lights came on, and then parents didn't care, and you stayed out on Halloween till 11 at night. I also grew up and I played college football. So when I went to Iowa State from Akron, Ohio, I was thrown into this cauldron with guys that were from the ghettos of Miami, black guys. I was with white farmers from Wisconsin and Iowa who lived on 200-acre farms and never saw a guy from the city like me. I never saw a cow before I went to Iowa live. So you go out there and you're thrown in this crucible of people, and it's heated up. And because of that, you lose all track of who these people, the surface of these people, the color of their skin, their religion, what their background is. You don't care. These 45 years later, these are still my brothers. I'm as close to them as if we were blood, and maybe even closer. We don't see skin color. We don't see religion. We don't see these things. So my whole goal in life, mission in life, is to tell people that in order to change this world, we have got to get beyond. I wish the internet would go out. Now, I know that's not good for you, but
maybe after the show today.
But we have to get to know each other again. We have to sit on each other's porches. We have to be willing to help. And it's that problem is unimaginable for young people. Because the mistakes we have made as older people, as people who have been through it, now we're trying to put those on our kids instead of allowing them to grow, to develop, to find their way. We're trying to micromanage their lives. We're trying to indoctrinate them. We're trying to accelerate who they are. And it's almost like they're a prize. Everybody wants to win the hearts and souls of young people. Instead of letting young people grow up and make mistakes and fall on their knees and fail and have to get up and make their own decisions, we are in a battle as adults to try and win those people. Who's going to win this five-year-old? Who can we indoctrinate this five-year-old into gender? Can we indoctrinate this five-year-old into this? And so as adults, we're doing that to these kids. They become nothing more than pawns in this game that we have learned to play as adults and have to stop it. That was the book. Penguinville, Come Find Yourself, is a book, a mythical place called Penguinville, north of Nome. It's a rhyming book. It's beautifully illustrated. And two ladies helped me with it. I must add, Stephanie Drake and Laura Watson. Laura Watson illustrated the book. Stephanie Drake is from London, England. She designed the book. We put it all together. I wrote this book 25 years ago for my son, who's now 38.
Wow.
And
I wrote it
as just a story for him, because I wanted him to understand that who he was much deeper than his skin color, his hair, what he wore, what people thought about him, that there was a spiritual part of his life that was special, and that he needed to be able to let that out and not learn how to, as we do, learn how to put this mask on. Because as we grow older in life, and especially now, we create a facade, and social media allows that to do that with airbrushing and with presenting yourself in a way. You don't see people's flaws, and thus, when you're young, you start comparing yourself to false images.
Yeah, I think there's a balance in there. We either don't see people's flaws, or we see nothing but flaws. And so we can demonize people and we miss out on a richness. When we don't challenge ourselves with things that are outside of our comfort zone, and we don't allow our children to as well, and we say, this is the way the world is, this is how, and we label children at such an early age, we rob from them the ability to learn from things that are different. Now, I grew up in an area of the Northwest where, when I was a child, my family was one of only two Hispanic-ish families, even though we're mixed race. My mom was very white. My dad was Hispanic Hawaiian. You know, that was interesting, being a person, a POC, at the time. I didn't know that there was such a thing as POC. But, you know, Joe, in my world, I did not experience racism until I was much older. What I experienced is kids being kids. Like your experience, it didn't really matter. And in some instances, I was taught, well, yeah, some ways you're different, and that makes you special. It makes you beautiful. Everybody is different. So you start to see the difference in people. And I wanted to ask you if you had ever seen that video back from the 1960s where a teacher went into class and she said, she made the proclamation that those with blue eyes are better than those with brown eyes. You brown-eyed kids are going to have lunch after the blue-eyed kids. You don't get to have recess, et cetera, et cetera. The kids started reacting and treating each other with disdain based on eye color. Yes. Well, the next day she came in and said, I was wrong. It's really you brown-eyed kids that are superior. Oh, wow. You're smarter. You're better. You're going to get privileges that the other kids started. They toppled off of their thrones. They were disjointed and sad. And then there was the meanness that ensued, and the kids treating each other like you're second class. The third day, yeah. She said, "Now all of this was silliness. To try to show you that there really is no difference. Our eyes, they're there to see. They're there to balance our face. That's what they're for. Eye color makes no difference." It was a profound lesson for kids. And I think that's some of the lesson that you give for children and for adults as well in Penguinville, Come Find Yourself.
Yeah, that's what I try to do. And again, you know, like I said, it was written 25 years ago, and these wonderful ladies.
Truth has nothing to do with time, and that's, I think, part of the lesson is that we have these new lessons for kids that you can take drugs, cut things off, and change your gender. Because, man, they probably would have done that to me. I was the neighborhood quarterback. I mean, I was playing sports and coming home dirty every night. You know, they probably would have said, "Oh, okay, we may need to change your gender, Michelle."
Yes.
You know, there are all of these new critical race theory is all the rage. This is kind of where we're at today. But I'm saying that I don't care how long ago Penguinville was written. Man, these lessons are pertinent today. These lessons are still pertinent today.
Oh, they're more pertinent today. And that's why we turned it into a book. I showed it to
a
bunch of people, and they said, "This has got to be a book. It's more relevant today than it was 25 years ago." It is. It's so important that kids understand that who they are is much deeper than what people see, and that they have to let this out. They have to let themselves come out. They have to have the confidence to know that they have a spirit. They have a special person in there, a unique being, and that person has to come out. They have things to offer. And not to be held back by what someone categorizes them or pigeonholes them into. My whole life has been like that. My whole life has been one where my parents let me freely go do what I wanted. And then when I was married, my wonderful wife for 40 years has also allowed me to go off and do things and say, "I'm going to start a radiology business. I'm going to go do radio. I'm going to go to China and compete in a 22 nation Kung Fu tournament, Kirby. So I'll see you in a week or two." You know, I think we have to do that to children. We have to allow them to learn, to fail, to experiment, to do things, and not try and tell them who they are. A lot of times, and I saw this as a college football coach too, Michelle. I saw parents, I saw this change over the 18 years I was coaching. Used to be when I played football, my mom didn't even know I went out at eight years old. I went and started playing football. Ended up getting a scholarship to Iowa State, playing football there, coaching the whole thing. But nowadays, parents become managers. They start, "I'm going to train this kid from when he's four. I'm going to prepare him to be a tennis pro or a football quarterback." And you see them start to micromanage kids' lives.
And
they're living vicariously through their kids. This is what I was saying earlier, is that we as adults are trying to mold kids. We're trying to indoctrinate them. We're trying to train them. We're trying to manage them. We're trying to do everything. We're trying to keep them from being hurt. You know, everybody gets a trophy. Don't fall down. You know, "You're okay. I'm not going to cut you from this team." Well, really, if you're not good enough, maybe you should be cut so that you get better and work harder. Michael Jordan was cut from his team in high school. You know, I was cut from a baseball team in grade school. Yeah, it was hard. It's not easy to be cut. But you know what? I worked harder and I went back and I made the team.
Wow. What a lesson. Serious lesson. That's a serious lesson. Look, I've been a radio talk show host of my adult life. And I started, Joe, in a time where radio talk show hosts were referred to as angry white males. I'm not angry. Oh, yeah. I'm not white. And I'm not a male. So you can imagine some of the challenges. And there was misogyny. There truly was misogyny within the walls of these radio stations. I missed advancements because most of the guys who got advanced were invited to go to strip clubs with the managers. And that's where they said, oh, hey, yeah, we'll give you this time slot. You know.
Yeah.
That happens, and it doesn't matter. There's racism from the other side. If you're not the right color, if you're not from the right political ideology, there is always a place where you're going to experience the lack of privilege, and that's what I had. But you know, it's like your story, Joe, and as you're listening, watching, reading, viewing. That's where we have opportunity. Like Joe, getting cut, you work harder. Do you know what that makes you? It makes you harder. It makes you harder working, and it makes you better. I became better in my craft than my peers. And there was no way that they could ignore that. There's no way that they could ignore that listeners were excited when I was on the air. There's no way that they could ignore you, Joe. Wow, this kid can play. There's no way. So it is that in that adversity and in that sometimes I just feel like I'm not getting my fair share, where you rise to the occasion, you have that opportunity. That's what inspiration is. Not, well, I'm just going to give it to you anyway. And then we create an entire generation of mediocrity.
Yes, exactly. And then we are not happy with them. We're not happy with the creation we made. We're not happy if they don't get a scholarship. We're disappointed in them. We project that onto those children, those young people, instead of just letting them find their own way. You know, I was always in sports. My son is a documentary filmmaker. My son is an artist. He can sculpt things and draw things, and he's amazing. And I look at him, and there were certain times in my life when I was coaching college football and other coaches had their sons playing and all this, and Zach didn't really want to play. And there were times and I thought, oh, I'd really like Zach to play. But you know what? I look back now. I'm so glad that, and a lot of this is my wife, who basically said, look, let him be. Let him find his way. And he did. And I didn't, thank God, I didn't interfere with him.
Yeah.
I didn't, as much as I know I did a little. I let him be. And that's what we have to do. We're raising little robots who feel entitled, and it's not their fault. I'm not putting this on them. I'm putting this on us, on adults.
Well, sure. But it's important to say, because those folks who are listening and saying, well, that's me, I'm entitled. Look, that's part of your background. That's part of your learning. Now it's time to not be woke, but to wake up. This is where we have the opportunity to be better people.
Yes. And I'm not, I have become apolitical. I have become, I'm a Christian man. I believe that we are spirit filled, that we are spiritual, that there is a God. I believe in all of those things. And I believe that everybody, every single person has in them a uniqueness, a God-given ability. And the worst thing we do to people is to label, categorize, pigeonhole, and not allow them to spring forth, to be this well. I mean, even the Bible talks about perseverance and trials, and how trials create perseverance, and perseverance hope. And these things are crucial in life. And thus the book. The book basically is to kids, who you are is not your skin. Who you are is not your gender. Who you are is not your physical challenge, a scar, your jewelry, your hair, your clothes. Don't listen to those people who say, hey, come join the crowd. Be who you are. Let your inner light shine so that everyone can see you, and just be. And that's, Michelle, I just, in the life, in the rest of life that I have, and I know that there's going to be other things that I'm going to do.
There's no stopping you.
I'm not done. But I just want to get that message out that we are not. And you know, you talk about race. Morgan Freeman was interviewed once, and they said, well, what do we do about this race problem? And he said, stop talking about it. Stop talking about it. The last thing you want to do, even with like critical race theory, why are you teaching that to young kids? Let them find their own way.
It's the same as that teacher going in and saying brown eyes, blue eyes.
Yes.
What Morgan Freeman also said in that interview is stop referring to me as a black man and just refer to me as a man. We've lost the idea of looking at science, which shows us that there is one race, and it is the human race, that all of the things that make us different, all of those things are within the DNA of absolutely every people group on the planet. Curly hair, a propensity for darker eyes. It's pigmentation. It has nothing to do with these segments and these differences. And I'm encouraged by this book. And I want to encourage folks as we get into the holiday season, what a great way to change the world, one bedtime story at a time. It can seem overwhelming when you're looking at the news and you're seeing division, you're seeing good people lose their jobs because they don't want an experimental jab. You're seeing it on Sesame Street, for crying out loud. Let's just jab everyone without that conversation. You don't have to agree with me. That's fine. But we see these divisions. Now you're an anti-vaxxer. Well, no, I'm just concerned about this. Or I support these people. You're a this, you're a that. We have all these labels. And what I see in Penguinville is something really beautiful, where we might be overwhelmed by what we see out there in the world. And we think, what can we do? Well, what you can do is live a life that is so inspirational, a magnum opus. Celebrate the beauty of how you were created. Let that shine in your family from the time you wake up to the time you read Penguinville to your kids at night. When you do that, that light shines so brightly. Getting back to a Bible verse, let your light shine among men that they may see your good works. And what do? They say, what's going on? Wow, God is good. I want some of that. You change the world starting with yourself, starting with your family. Penguinville is, you introduce us to these differences by a little bit of a tour of Penguinville. Can you give us a little tour of Penguinville just as a little precursor to picking up the book for the holidays?
Yeah. It is it's a book that should be either written, read with the parents or read by the parents so that there's discussion in it. Because it's not your typical, it's a rhyming book, but it actually gets into three different characters and it ends with this. I'll just give you this. It starts down here. It talks about who you are. It says, well, we must end our journey. It's time to depart. Let the lessons from Penguinville remain in your heart. Just know who you are lies deeper within. They are not in your walk or your gender or skin. They are not in your clothes or your jewelry or hair. If you're looking for you, you won't find you there. They aren't in a blemish, a limp, or a scar down deeper than those. That's where you are. Like Pedri and June and the baker called Ned, get beyond what you see or that voice in your head. That is so true, that little voice in your head. Destroy all those fears that disguise what you're about. Don't let them put limits. Don't let them grow doubt. And then it just keeps going after that. But that's the story. It's about three people, and it's about this town. And it's a journey to discover yourself. It's a journey to see... Mayor Pedri is our host in this trip. Mayor Pedri is purple. Now, he's the only penguin in Penguinville who's purple. But people don't think about him as purple. It's deeper than that. They don't judge him because he's purple. The baker called Ned's in a wheelchair. He got hurt when he was a child on an iceberg somewhere, and he's in his wheelchair. But he's a baker. He travels down Penguinville every year in the yearly parade dressed as a clown. He puts on those fun feet, the one with the five toes on him. And he goes through Penguinville. And then you have Mayor Dr. June Penguin. And she replaced an old doctor named Timothy Brown, who was a man and delivered most of the people and the penguins in Penguinville. And she was a young woman who came in, and there was a little bit of fear about her, and they got over that. They learned that when they got to know her, that she was very good at what she did. She had a special way about her that was unique from Dr. Brown. And the story goes on. That's it.
And it's an important lesson for all of us.
It is.
Maybe we can have our kids read it to us and rediscover the beauty and differences, because there really is. And my challenge to you, as you're watching or listening or reading, is to first of all remember who you are. Remember not to listen to those ridiculous voices, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are unique. There is no one on this earth that has ever been or ever will be like you. You are precious. You're important to God. You are his workmanship, which means you're a work of art. You're a magnum opus of God's. You're a work of art. That's exciting. Remembering that is step one. The next step is to remember that other people have that uniqueness and that beauty too. So challenge yourself with someone who thinks differently. Listen to them without letting the hackles on the back of your neck get up, and appreciate them for who they are. Maybe you can learn something. Maybe you can hone in your truth, the things that you truly believe, or maybe that truth could be challenged so that you can find something deeper, something solid. That's the lesson that is so simple that it can be put into a children's book. And yet we need it today. I have been absolutely enchanted by Penguinville, Come Find Yourself, and by my new friend, Joe Palmisano. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. And Michelle, tell everyone, be outrageous.
Yes.
Be uncomfortable. Be outrageous and be uncomfortable and just let things hang out. Take people out of the labels, because when you label people, you paint yourself into a box too, that you can't get out of. Just be outrageous like you are. Be outrageous.
Be outrageous. Funny you say that. My favorite quote is by Cecil Beaton, and it's, be daring, be different, be impractical, be anything that will assert integrity of purpose and imaginative vision against the play it safers, the creatures of the commonplace, the slaves of the ordinary. Love that quote. Folks, you can go to mymichellelive.com. There is a direct link for you to pick up Penguinville. I think you should just get it for every kid in your life. There you go. Boom. Something to mark off your list before we get too deeply into the holiday season. Joe, it's been a delight. Thank you so, so much.
I hope we can see you again, Michelle. Have a wonderful holiday. Merry Christmas.
For more fun, go to mymichellelive.com.